Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. This I'm delaying. It's actually about something that happened not immediately. Because if I'm not careful, now that I've decided to break the ice and do some sports topics, then those are the stuff that are easy to react to. You're watching games, you see plays. And then I'll inundate my feed with episodes on that. So this is actually reaction from game one of Pacers-Knicks. The reaction was first, I've recorded this about six versions, before I saw the final. So it was not spoiled by the knowledge of the score. So what this is about is flailing, falling, dreadlock, flying, lying Brunson. And how the NBA has to get better. If they want casual fans to not be turned off by people complaining about fouls, they have to get better. But I have a solution. First, I want to lead with the last four teams of the NBA. I'm bout it. Like, I love the fresh teams with a shot, and New York has been so long. I was texting friends and family, like, man, I think I might be rooting for the Knicks, which I... You know, as a Midwest person, you tend not to root for the New York teams. But then you go, man, it's been so long for them. You got to love it, man. Got to love it how long it's been. And, you know, Jalen Brunson is the engine. Like, he's really, really good. And he's fun to watch. When he's being honest, he's got great footwork. He's got the great stutter moves. Got great touch. He's very clutch. You know, if you're watching the NBA playoffs or been listening to the media at all about him, you know, the stats about him being the most, the best in quote, crunch time, you know, like within 5 points in the last 5 minutes or something like that of a game. So he's great, but he's abused his privilege and is doing some flailing and falling, disingenuous, dishonest plays to get fouls. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples. I despise it. I mean, I want to root for New York. Already I'm finding myself, after I said, man, I like that they beat the Celtics. I like how they came back. Like, I want to look it up, but that has to be historically rare that they were behind by at least 14 in 5 of 6 games and 1 in 6. And behind by 20 in 4 of the 6 and 1 in 6. It's got to be, if not unique, there's only one other or two other times that's ever happened. So I've been rooting for him. I like him, but I also saw this early in one of the other series and said, what the hell, Brunson? And then after I saw it, I said, do I like this guy? Or am I falling for everybody else liked him just because he's a smaller guy, relatively height-wise, and he's playing in New York? And so I'm constantly kind of evaluating, you know, my perceptions versus others. And I said, no, there was plenty of crunch time moments and play time where he wasn't doing this stuff. So I'm like, no, I'm about it. I like Brunson. But then, no. And then he does this stuff again. So it's two different behaviors. One behavior is going towards the basket, being a perfectly good, agile point guard who's strong enough to last 82 games plus, you know, up to seven game series after, and yet can't land. It's kind of a corollary or a parallel to when perfectly healthy NBA players can jump at the three-point line enough to give an extra foot and a half of, you know, heft into their three-point shot. But when they come down, even though they can apply that much force to the ground, somehow their legs can't support them on the way down, so they can fly up and act like they've been fouled. So the first example, all these are from game one. There are three examples of two total different types of behavior. I'll go over them. First example, you can go look in 49 seconds-ish, I think it was, in the first quarter of game one, Indiana Knicks. he's beaten somebody toward down the center of the court, or rather, you know, the center of the lane. Another guard bounce passes it to him. Toppin is to his right, and maybe Nembhard's to his left, but basically he's already split the defenders. And then he goes up, and you can see that Toppin's not trying to get in his way. Toppin is to his right, Nembhard's to his left. And Toppin has the leg that is extended is the left one, and he has veered it away from that path. And it is not touching Brunson, and neither is his arm. And then Nembhard is to the baseline side, and rather than toward the center of the court, towards the baseline side and the side of the court. So he is also not touching, the legs don't touch. Brunson is in the air. If something's happened up high, I'm unsure. But if so, it's not one of those up high things where, for instance, the Jimmy Butler thing, where unfortunately something happens and the momentum above your hips is stopped just because somebody gives you a little bit and you're going fast enough and there's nothing to stop your lower half from continuing to go. So if you're caught up high too high as opposed to down by your hips, your body rotates such that, you know, your legs keep going, your hips stop, and therefore your upper body rotates backwards, you land on your butt. So it's not that. There's nobody stopping any of his body momentum. And if there's a slight foul up top, maybe there is, I'm unsure. But Brunson does this artificial thing where a world-class agile athlete cannot just land on his own 2 feet and then continue standing. He collapses as though he's been hit by an explosion. And then he slides out of bounds and hits the stanchion. Now, I've seen this where guys go in for a layup so quickly that it's almost just as easy. You know, there's that little bit of space to the left or the right of the stanchion, where there are not journalists. So it almost makes sense to kind of just slide backward and let your, you know, legs go up. You made the basket, but it's almost as easy to do that to kind of stop your momentum. And you just kind of roll up towards your shoulders and come back and you're ready to go back down, you know, downfield, down court. It's not that. He doesn't have that much momentum. He didn't come in off of a fast break. He came in off of kind of a curl and then beat his guy, maybe off of a screen. Just, you know, down the center of the lane. And so, again, he can catch himself perfectly well, and he's not kind of landing sideways or backwards, which is what those guys are doing sometimes trying to do a fast break layup. And so it's easier to just kind of go, you know, pivot to the back and end up on your butt, roll up, and then come back down. He's landing forward, but yet he lets his legs collapse. So that's the first disingenuous, you know, let's be theatric about it. Let's instead go all the way to the ground hard, like somebody did a hard foul when they basically didn't touch you. And then honestly, I never wish major injuries on anybody. But in this particular case, then because he slides all the way up onto his shoulders and he hits the bottom of the stanchion hard, you know, he grimaces because he supposedly, you know, maybe tweaked his neck. I don't know if that was acting, but if it's not acting, you get those small tweaks. You get what you deserve with those small tweaks when nobody touched you. I find that activity disgusting. I know that guys with that strong of legs can land after jumping. I've seen it. Jalen, I've seen you be able to land while jumping forward. I know you can do it. I've seen it. Second activity is, we have two examples of it, literally two possessions in a row. So the first example, he's coming up from the left side, bringing the ball up. He stops at about the three-point line at about 45 degrees to the left of center. So kind of halfway in between, you know, corner three and straightaway three-pointer. Kind of at that three-point line. And I think it's... not Nimhard, but the Nesmith is in front of him. Not totally sure. He's dribbling there, then he decides to go. And he tries to go towards center court to maybe get around Nesmith to Brunson's right. And the defender, as I said before, does have a right to try to stop your movement toward the ball as long as he doesn't just totally crash into you. So he's doing the proper thing. He's veering Brunson off. It's a proper veer. Brunson's going forward. This is the perfect defensive back and hip pocket position. But at the beginning of a basketball play, it's not long enough to where they've turned around and are running with you, because that's not the way the play works, right? He's not waiting for a pass. So instead, he's in the perfect defensive slide position, trying to run in a parallel path, sliding sideways with his hands to the side. And what Brunson does is this move that is totally disingenuous, because they're both moving in a direct parallel path. And Brunson, I don't even know if he shifts his head and his shoulders left into the defender. He might. But the important part is that he explosively then flails his shoulder and his head and his dreadlocks to the right, as though the defender gave him a shiver or made a lateral movement, when he did not. He did not extend his arms forward. He did not change his position and drive forward. You'd have to change his, momentum almost perpendicular to do that. He does not. He's still sliding sideways as the defender. So this totally disingenuous, look, I just got hit, and now my dreadlocks are flailing. And the naive refs believe the con. But worse than what he does is then, after all, he's been shoved away, right? So now he creates space to his right away from the parallel spot, and kind of like that disingenuous three-point shot that happens, but it happens less now, where you act like he's, you're trying to create contact on the way up and then just finish the three-point shot. It's like a bad shot, but you work on it a little bit so that maybe you can get the basket close. And sometimes, even though your main point is not to make the shot, your main point is to draw the foul, as though you couldn't avoid the contact when you perfectly well could have, because you're putting your arms in an unnatural motion to create that contact on the way up. By the same token, so you work on that little, let me try to finish this to get it close so they're more likely to give me a continuation, right? So what he does is, as he falls away from the right from this theatric move of, being hit by the defender when no such thing happened, then he acts like, I got to get this shot up for continuation. I just got fouled. But you understand that now is one of his moves. Like, that's a move and a coordination of steps that he's working on. So that's exactly what he does. So now the step is, the move is go parallel, veer yourself or not. I don't even know if he veers him into the defender, who's trying to just wall him off. But regardless, then explode to the right, flail to the right, flail with shoulders, head, and dreadlocks away from the defender, and then continue the step to the right, because after all, you got shoved, and then put up a shot. The referees fall for it, and he gets an and one. He makes a shot. So if you don't think that's, after all, I'm only describing it, but so you might have some doubts. The very next possession, from the right side, he doesn't bring the ball up, but he's in essence at the mirror position on the right side. Another guard gets it to him. Now he's almost the exact same mirrored right side position. McConnell's in front of him. So what does he do? Does he try to get around McConnell to the baseline and court side side? No. Sideline side? No. He tries to veer toward the center, but he's never being genuine about trying to get around the corner. You can tell, because just a stride and a half in, just like from the other side, he's, again, I don't remember if he actually slams his body towards the towards McConnell. But what he definitely does is explode and flail his shoulders and his head and his dreadlocks to the left, and he gets a call. I don't think he got a shot off, but maybe from that side he's not as good at getting shots off. Is he a right-hander? It would make sense if he was a right-hander. He's not as good at getting that shot off because he doesn't have the immediate ready-to-go move if he launches to the left. But the big thing is, you know, maybe they're in bonus by then. He's still getting at least one shot, right? So totally disingenuous. And what it does then also is turn off the casual fan, because if you're watching superficially, you see McConnell go, what the heck? Actually, though, he did, and he's like, whatever. But Nemhard, or whoever it was on the left, I believe it was a Naismith, did kind of put his hands out, like, what the heck? And again, it kind of turns into, what am I supposed to do, dematerialize? But more so, it's like, no, I did not create that movement. I was going sideways. And so they, you know, put their hands up and look at the ref, and people are already turned off by the... People are turned off when an offensive player is asking for a foul, but they're also turned off when somebody goes, I didn't foul him. And if you don't look close, you just see that as the pattern. These guys are always complaining, I hate that so much, I'd rather watch college basketball. So really, guys, NBA refs, stop being naive. These are ridiculous plays you can understand. You can see the pattern. If the defender is sliding sideways, and for a stride and a half or two, you can see they're running parallel with the defender and have their arms out, unless they reset their legs to directly or closer to directly behind them, they don't even have the proper position to apply leverage back up, you know, to their front in perpendicular to their line of motion. They don't have any way to apply that leverage. One leg would have to work behind him. So while they're sliding, they cannot explode an offensive guy unless from there they also shove. Like if they could start it with a shove of their arms, but if their arms are outward in a defensive slide position, that's not happening either. This is not a hard thing to see as a pattern. And then you can call the bluff and go, no. That is not, no. I don't, so you lost control. I guess that's your fault. It's a travel. Right? Or again, like the other things I talk about, if you want to run into the defender when he's in a perfectly good legal defensive position and then try to get a shot off, that's fine, but you're not getting a call for it. You knew where the defender was. You were the closest to him. You could see him real close. You could see his path. You don't have to run into his legal defending position and his legal defending path. And if you do, that's fine. It may not be an offensive foul, but you're certainly not get help from the ref. And by the same token, you're going down toward the basket. I'm not going to give you a foul just because you're overreacting by not catching yourself and crumpling the rest of the way to the ground and sliding to the stanchion, to the, you know, bottom of the standard. I'm not going to do that. And if you did that, there would be less foul complaining, and there'd also be less of these theatrics. And then really good players like Brunson would stick to what they can do, which is play really well. Come on, NBA. You're better. All right, guys. Thanks for listening to Scales of Truth.